Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. Connor here, and Mike is here as well, and we're excited to be with you. We're jumping in to a four-week series, a marriage and family Q&A. So in this podcast, in the next three, we're going to be tackling some questions about marriage and family. And Mike, let's just get right into this, and I'll say up front as well that each of these are going to be on the shorter side, just kind of a series of just kind of quick bursts with some just kind of thoughts from Mike and I off the top of our head in response to some questions. So first question or category that we want to tackle in this opening podcast is the question of how do you think about parents and young children in the worship service? Parents and young children in the worship service. Mike, I'm going to pass this right to you because this has been something that you've, I don't know, I feel like it's a kind of a mark of your ministry life to encourage mm-hmm. families to bring their kids into the worship service. So can I just let you kind of speak to this in terms of maybe context or just what's on your mind with it?
Absolutely. Back in 2006, I became the pastor at Grace Orange, and one of the things that we had was kids were in the worship service. Awesome, right? But they were only in the worship service up until the sermon. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. So the whole worship service builds up to the sermon, and then we're going to have them leave? And it's like, well, but they need to have it at their own level and this and that and the other. And I'm thinking to myself, right, and I've thought about this for many years, oh, so do you, when you go to a restaurant with your kids, when the food comes, do you send them into another room? When you go to, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? It's like, we do a really weird segregation in the church sometimes, thinking we're doing something good. But by the way, you know, the normative and the regulative principles of worship, like if it's not forbidden, it's okay. But if it is forbidden, we don't do it. Well, we follow what is more of a regulative principle, which is we want all the parts of our worship service to be something the Bible would encourage. Mm-hmm. We usually think of it as what we present, but what about who's sitting there?
Yeah.
Okay. The normative model, whether it's Deuteronomy 6, whether it's Nehemiah 8, whether it's Psalm 78, whether it's Ephesians or Colossians, kids are directly addressed or spoken of being in the gathering, and it's like they don't get exited out. And that's a construct that we added, right? So yeah, I've always wanted parents and kids to be in the worship service. And the reason why is because that's how the faith is taught, okay? It's not taught in absentia. It's taught in the real trenches of life. And so I just have a couple things I would say to parents about it though, right?
Yeah. So yeah, let's get into that. I have like one specific question, but why don't you just kind of push a few of these things that you would say to parents first?
Yeah, I say four things to parents, okay? Number one, parents, bring your kids in, but be aware of your surroundings, okay? A lot of times parents might camp out or get forced. One time I was forced into like the second row in my former church with my 4.5 or 5-year-old son that was very rambunctious, okay? Michael, the apple didn't fall far from the tree on that one. And all I can tell you is I was like, oh my goodness. I even was apologizing to people afterwards and they're like, no, he was great. We wish we would have brought our kids in when we were, because that wasn't the model at that church. I had to kind of, I was a senior associate pastor, but I was like marriage, family and parenting and adults and what have you. And I was trying to like stem the tide by saying, let's bring kids into the worship.
And you were kind of pioneering it.
Yeah,
bringing your kids in.
So many families tell me my kids are grown and they don't even go to church. I wish we always segregated them out. There was a lot of people saying that.
Super interesting.
So the people with older kids were like, "We're glad you're doing this. We wish we would have done this. Wish it would have been encouraged by the church." Okay. And again, I'm not trying to indict anybody on this, but we do some wacky things sometimes. But parents have to be aware of their surroundings. For example, if you're in a coffee shop with your kids and they start acting up, parents take their kids out. But what happens in a worship service? Takes them out, bring them back in, takes them out, bring them back in, or just brings a bunch of toys or brings a bunch of, you wouldn't do that in a restaurant. You wouldn't do that in a coffee shop. You wouldn't do that in a library, but somehow we think, oh, it's okay because everyone's going to be okay. Well, you have to realize your surroundings. Everyone's looking at you and going, where's your common sense? I mean, I'm not trying to be heartless here. I'm just trying to be like, let's have common sense. So parents, don't hurt the cause, okay? Be aware of your surroundings, but don't hurt the cause. Early on in my tenure here at Grace, I had to take a few guys off to the side, guys whose kids are now grown and married. But at the time, they were camping out in the front row, all these toys. It happens today. It happened 19 years ago, too.
Uh-huh.
And I would say, please don't hurt the cause. This is not a zoo. You need to like think it through. So the two things I'd say is parents, prep your kids and debrief. Okay, that's one thing, by the way. Hmm. Prep your kids beforehand. Kids, we're going into the worship service. Just like when we go to a restaurant, or just like we go to this, there are some social norms here. So you can't be all going crazy. You can't be doing this and that. Now, that doesn't mean that your kids are gonna listen to you. That's why you do the debrief afterwards. Mm-hmm. Kids, you were great, or kids this or that. It's not the worst thing in the world to give them a little pad of paper and a crayon or a pen to write with or whatever. I wouldn't bring a whole slew of toys, okay? No, we're not doing that, okay? Parents, prep your kids and debrief. And then the last one is, parents are the issue, not necessarily the kids. I've had numerous parents ask me, what should I do to discipline my kids about how they were in church? I'm like, nothing! Hug them, kiss them, put them to bed, read them the Bible, pray with them. No, discipline yourself. Like you brought your kids in, you let them do that. It wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
And it's not the biggest deal in the world, but I will tell you, I want this to keep going, and it hurts the cause when people go, yeah, but the guy got up three times in the middle of the worship service. This happened recently at Grace. I love everybody, but it happened. And people that were on the live stream, homebound people, said, on Easter, someone in the front row kept getting up three different times, and it didn't pan. The live stream didn't pan away from them.
You know? Yeah.
That's probably something to think about, right? But it's like, okay, let's just be common sensey here, okay? Parents are the issue, not necessarily the kids. You know what I'm saying. There's a lot of parenting that goes on that you're like, interesting.
Yeah.
And then, because there's a big wide range.
Yeah.
Some parents are way too hard on their kids. Some parents are way too lenient on their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go loving and firm.
Mm. Yeah. It's good. Okay. So my question actually ties into your first one about how did you say it? You don't let your kids go wild, or don't sit too close to the front, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what you said exactly, but okay. The idea of a parent has a kid who's kind of making noise and having a hard time.
Yeah.
They take him out, but then bring him back in and maybe do it a few times. I feel like one of the reasons that people do that is because the parent has this sense of, I can't miss the worship service, or I can't miss the sermon. Do you think that's true? I don't know
maybe,
if that's true. I just don't know why they would go in if not, you know?
Well, I don't know either. I can't, you know, begin to imagine what some people do with all their choices, because I look at other choices in life and I'm like, why did they do that?
Yeah, fair point.
So, a lot of Christians make a lot of interesting choices. I would say this way. First of all, we start bringing our kids in when they were like 4.5, 5 years old, okay?
Yeah.
So I think up until that point, it's not bad to have a baby sitting with you or a preschooler sitting with you, but I also think it can be helpful to have them in the class, whatever. But I think you want kids to hear the word. You want kids to have the aggregate effect of the word of God upon their life while they're with the people of God. You want kids to know they're a viable part of the body of Christ. But when the parent goes, if they're saying, I just can't miss the sermon, you know, you can go back and catch it later. You're in a season of life where you're holding the baby. I remember when I had home. See, when I first came to Grace, the elders were like, so what do we want to do, Mike? We were in a first retreat. I said, I want families worshiping together. I want families in home groups together. And I want families on mission trips together. I want all ages together like that.
Hmm.
That is how the faith is presented in the Bible. Okay. Not all the segregation that we've done over the years in the church over the last, 50 years or whatever. That said, one time after home group, Angela and I were talking about home group, and I said, this was years ago when our kids were all little, I said, oh, home group was amazing tonight. And she's like, for you? For you, maybe.
Right, right.
I was wrestling, 3.5, 4 kids, 5 kids over here in the, now it wouldn't have been 5 kids because we have a 10-year gap between the, 10-year swing between the kids. But I was wrestling 3 kids in the hallway over here at our house.
Yeah.
And I go, oh, honey, you're right. So, but you know what? That's part of life.
Yeah.
It's part of life. And all I can tell you is love the seasons of life, but don't take yourself out of church because of it. You're still taking your kids to restaurants and to sports and to coffee shops and to this, that, and the other, and to parks and whatever. So just prep them for being in the worship service and realize, like, I by the way, I think this is a church issue. The ushers and the greeters need to help parents find spaces. Parents, you need to be thinking, if you got young kids with you, don't sit in the front and center. Sit. I did this all the time. I would sit. The time I did get stuck in the front and center, I was like mortified.
Mm-hmm.
I would get back to the sides.
Yeah.
But that means that the church has to make sure they give some seats for parents with young kids. And that doesn't mean it's all just one area and you're like relegated to an area. I'm not saying that either. Like on Good Friday, it was really noisy, right? And we had some good time on that one. And but then everybody moved to the back and it was just really noisy in the back.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was, now it was a packed room.
Yeah.
Okay. You roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, right. You're not blinking an eye.
Right.
Even like on Easter, it was a little bit, you know, no one remembers it the next week, but you don't want to be a hindrance to someone else hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With distractions. Yeah. From your family. Yeah. Well, that's good. I feel like
we love all parents, all ages in the worship service,
yeah.
But you have to be appropriate
right
to the setting.
Just to, I mean, the comment that, or the question I was asking you, Em and I were saying just like in the last week, hey, what about before there was live stream, before there was a sermon recorded pretty much all of church history until the last, you know, few years,
yeah.
Especially moms with young kids.
Right.
I would guess a lot of times they would have had to step out to be with the little kid. I don't know. Right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I don't know how else you would understand that. So I think maybe it's just freeing for people to go, okay, that's okay. And thank you, yeah. Lord, that I can actually listen to the live stream later if I want to, or I can, if you know,
yeah.
I can catch it outside on the speakers or whatever. So
yeah, and yeah. Remember this too. Remember this, parents. Remember this, that what we do in America or in Africa or whatever in worship services isn't mandated in Scripture. You shall be in a room for an hour and 15 minutes and
yeah.
have seats in order and do this, this, and this. We do this because we have freedom to do it. Okay,
yeah.
We're to worship the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We are to gather with the assembly of believers, but the specifics aren't like boiled down and sliced and diced for everybody. So just realize that this is a social setting where you need to be appropriate like you would be in any other social setting. If you were at a graduation, you're going to walk your kid out if he starts crying or starts, you know, fussing. If you were in a restaurant, or if you're at a coffee shop, or, you know, a library, or whatever you're in, like, social norms don't go out the window just because you're in a worship service.
Hmm.
And
right.
Sometimes we can get really selfish about it. I can't miss that or whatever. Maybe you can for that moment.
Yeah.
And maybe you take that same scripture that the pastor's preaching and you walk with your baby or your child and recite that to them and pray that over them.
That's it.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great. Well, that's a great place to end this first podcast. We'll be back, everybody, over the next three podcasts with more questions about family and family life. So thanks for listening today. Hope that was a help and encouragement to you. And we'll talk to you next time on the podcast. God bless you.